Okay. So the topic we're going to do was brought to my attention by Jassy a number of months ago. So the question is basically, I guess, what was the chet of the sons of Aaron? What was their sin? And it's kind of confusing when you look at all the different sources, because you get one impression from the plain pshat and the psukim, which was an eish zara asher lo tziva osam, as there was some sort of fire that they weren't commanded in. But then Rashi kind of gives you some other impressions, like they drank, or they didn't ask for a psak, they passed in the front of the Rebbe. And then the Medrash, you get a whole other list of different types of chatan. So it's like a very confusing, there's like a big disconnect between the plain pshat and the Rashi's and the Midrashim. And it's kind of hard to sort out. And the Medrash even says they only had this one sin, but yet this one sin, you have like eight different versions of what it was. So I'm going to try to get some sort of clarity. Okay? But it's a little confusing. So basically what happened was, this is the Yom HaShemini, eighth day of the Miluah, and they're basically ready to dedicate the Mishkan, setting it up. They went for 7 days, and finally on this eighth day is going to be, there's going to be, 1 second, that's for Chedesh, yeah, basically on this eighth day, there's going to be Hashra Shechina, where Hashem is going to send down like a fire from Shemayim to basically burn their karbanos, right? Okay, so that was an exciting time, right? They had to bring various karbanos, right? And that was the command, to bring all these different karbanos. And sure enough, yeah, come on in. Hey. Okay, so sure enough, after they brought all the karbanos, there was supposed to be Hashra Shechina. Okay? So the pasuk, you can grab one of those chumash more there, if you want to see. So basically, the Torah describes all the karbanos that they brought up on the Mizbeach, right? Okay. Then it says, I guess if you look in pasuk of Gimel, Tes of Gimel, Vayeva Moshe ve'Aaron el Ol Moed, Vayetzu vayivrachu esam, vayirak vod Hashem akalam. So the Kavod Hashem appeared to the Olam. Vateze esh milchnei Hashem. And a fire came down from before Hashem. Vatoch al ha-mizbeach, and it ate on the mizbeach. Esa olav esa chalavim. The Olah and the fats of the Karbanos. Vayar kalam, vayironu, and the whole nation saw, and they were like, praised. They fell on their faces. This is Perek, we're up to Perek Yod, Pasuk Aleph, Vayikra. So they were all excited, the fire came down. Vayikru b'nei Aaron Nadav Aviyu, and Nadav of the sons of Aaron Nadav Aviyu took, Ish Machtaso, each man their fire pan, Vayikru b'nei Aaron Nadav, they put fire in it, and Ketoras, Vayikru b'nei Hashem, and they brought b'nei the fire Hashem, Ish Zara, a strange fire, Ashelot Tzivosom, that they weren't commanded. Okay? And a fire came out from before Hashem. And it ate them, and they died. Okay? So it seems like you got these two fires, right? At first it sounds like they brought the karbanos, and a fire came down and ate the karbanos. Right? And then it says, Bnei Aaron took their fire pans and brought ketores, which they brought a strange fire that they weren't commanded. And then it says a fire came down and ate them, consumed them, and they died. Right? You could imagine, as I pointed out before, the immense emotion of the situation. This is like the pinnacle of everything, that they're finally building the Mishkan, finally having a Shrash in the Mishkan, the excitement. And then instantaneously, Bnei Aaron, their leaders, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, were killed, right, in the intense emotion on that day. And then Aaron had to keep doing that Voda, and the whole thing was an amazing, you know, if you just think of the drama. Yeah, let me just, there's a lot of things I want to do, so there's a lot of different things here. It's a lot of complicated, you know, a lot of problems, but I want to focus on one set of problems. Okay, so Well, so what was their rechaim? So how does the Torah describe it? They brought an esh zara that they weren't commanded, right? Okay. So by the way, it's interesting. Is the Rashbam learns very interesting, okay? Which is, he says, look at this. Vayera kvod Hashem akalham. I don't know if you have the Rashbam. I think you guys do. So yeah, that one has it. So it says Ketzar Vateitze Eish Milfnei Hashem. Okay. So this is describing what he's going to do. I'll just give you a heads up. He's going to combine these two fires and say they really want fire. So it says Vateitze Eish Milfnei Hashem. A fire came from before Hashem. What does that mean? Mimbeis Kodesh Kedoshim Vaya LeKodesh Kedoshim Derech Mizbach Hazav. Through from the Kodesh Kedoshim to the Mizbach Hazav, which is the fire, the car of the Mizbeach, which held the Ketores, which was in the inside. I'm in the.
Back to Tisesh?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, again, there was the Kodesh Kedoshim, and then there was the Kodesh. And in the Kodesh, one of the things was the Mizbach Hazav, which had the Ketores. That's where they burned the Ketores every day. So the fire came from the Kodesh Kedoshim via to the Mizbach Hazav, the Hakir Ketores, Shu Kodem Akhtar Sadamit, Kedam Rasav Yoma. So the fire first came, for the first thing you do before you do the Karban Tamid is you do the Ketores. So the fire came through the Kodesh Kedoshim into the Mizbach Hazav, Visham Matzah Bnei Aaron, Eitzel Mizbach Hazav, Visarfam, and there the fire came and found the Bnei Aaron, because that's where they were bringing the Ketores. And then afterwards, Yatsa Ubalo Ala Mizbach. Then it came to the Mizbech, which was outside of the Kodesh, right? The Mizbech where they brought Karbanos. Atokal Ala Mizbech as Ola Vesa Shlaman. And it burned the Ola and the Shlaman. Okay? So it's one fire that basically went from the Kodesh Kedoshim to the Mizbech Hazav, which is where Bnei Aaron were, killed them, and then went out. Like, and ate the other karabanos.
Like went from pasuk kafdal to pasuk
kafdal, like that. Yes. Yeah, it's out of order. So if you look, the Rashbam continues next. Ve'ichu b'nei adav nadav aviyu, which sounds like afterwards, right? It sounds like after the fire came down, then nadav aviyu took. So it says no. Ve'ichu b'nei adav aviyu kodem shi'atza ha'esh mafnei Hashem. Before it, kvar lachu ish machtasu la'akir toros lufnim al mizbach hazav. They already had previously taken their fire pans to bring the Ketores on the Mizbach Hazav, Shari Ketores Shal Shachar, Gizmos Kedav Aron, because that's Halacha, the Ketores comes before the Karban, the Karbanos. V'nasnu b'hem eish zara zol tshivos ha-moshe b'yom zah. And they brought on these fire pans where they bring the Ketores, a strange fire. What is a strange fire? That Moshe didn't command them, he adds in b'yom zah, on that day. Sh'afal p'yishar v'shar yomim, k'siv nasnu b'yaron ha-koy eish ha-mizbeach. Because even though on other days, it says that the Bnei Aaron are supposed to bring a Mizbeach on the fire. You're supposed to bring a Mizbeach. You're not a fire. You're not supposed to just let a fire come from the sky, but you're supposed to bring a fire. Right?
But you're supposed to actually bring fire as opposed to fire coming down?
Both.
Okay.
Both. You bring and then the fire comes from the sky. Hayom lo tziva. Today there was no tziva like that. V'lo ratza Moshe shi've'e shaladio. Moshe didn't want them to bring their own fire. L'fishal yimitzachim li'ri'i tzesh gavo, because they're waiting for the fire to come from the sky. It wasn't good today to bring a strange fire, their own fire. In order that will be a kiddush Hashem, she'edu hakol, so everyone will know ki eish ba min haShemayim, so everyone will know the fire is coming only from Shemayim. K'mo shemar Eliyahu ve'eish lo tosimu, like by Eliyahu, v'fisha yirotel l'kadesh shem Shemayim, v'ridos eish shamayla. Okay, so the point is that on every other day, really, it's a mitzvah to bring your own fire. And then additionally, Hashem brings a sense of fire from Shemayim, which supplants, builds on the your own ish. But today the mitzvah was specifically, don't bring any of your own fire, only from Shemayim. So it'll be a kiddush Hashem, everyone will know it's totally me Hashem. But they didn't realize that. They, in their excitement, they brought their own fire like they normally are supposed to do. Right? And then it says, he continues, it's the same Vateitzeish. Okay. The Kemo Shepirashi Etzal Eishem Moshe as the Brayam Lachem Yisur Hesakesa. Okay, he gives other examples where you have these pesukim go out of order. This type of structure. Okay, but I'm not going to go into that. Afkan Shnei Pesukim Echad. It's the same pasuk. When the fire came and ate the Ola and the Shlamim on the outside of Mizbeach, Kisha Lachu B'nei Aaron is when the B'nei Aaron Ketok V'Yigribu Eishar Al Mizbeach B'Nimi. It's the same time as when they brought their own Mizbeach. So then the fire came to burn the Ketoras inside first. Upago B'nei Aaron Sham, and it encountered B'nei Aaron there, Umesu. And then it ended up going on the Mizbeach and eating the Ola. Okay?
And then when the Am saw, and when they were, Vayirani Vayipol was after that?
I don't know. It could be. I don't know. I'm not sure. He doesn't explain that part. Okay? But the point is, I mean, here's the point. I mean, there's a lot of things to discuss here. I don't want this really to be the focus of what we're going to talk about here today. So it's fascinating what he's doing, but the punchline of what he's doing is that the takeaway, I mean, it's very interesting the whole way he's reading the psukim, but the takeaway is that the chet was, it's not like they just decided, hey, you know what, we're just going to bring our own karban. That's what kind of you think of it. They just decided, they're super excited to be able to bring the karbanos, and hey, they're going to just do their own. He's not saying that at all. He's like, no, they were bringing the Ketoras. Every day that you bring out the Ketoras, that was their job. That was part of the way they come on and do. And they were doing it. And every day, the way to do it is you bring a fire to burn the Ketoras. And a fire comes down from Shemayim and helps. The only thing is today, if they listen carefully, this was not the Tzivoy today. The Tzivoy today was, this is the dedication day. The dedication day was going to be Kiddush Hashem, that only an Eish from Shemayim was going to come. No personal fires. Only from Shemayim. So even though every other day it's a mitzvah to bring your own, and then Hashem helps, today it's going to be Kiddush Hashem only. And they didn't realize that, and thereby, I guess, they took away from the Kiddush Hashem, because now it's not as manifest that it's Eish from Shemayim. So it's like, that was their chet. It's much less than just deciding on their own, just to bring their own karma. But nonetheless, the chet was, according to the Plaim Shan Psukim, that they were bringing a fire. And that's why it says, Eish Zal Rasha El Tzivosam. It's not the karbon, there's no one with the karbon. The karbon was appropriate. They were commanded. It was the ketoros. Every day there's ketoros. But it was the fire. They weren't commanded to bring the fire. And that was the chet had to do with the fact that they decided, they did the Avodas Hashem in the way which they saw fit. Okay? In fact, the Gemara in Erevin, Sanal Gimel says that their chet, I think maybe Rashi brought this down a little bit, that their chet was that they gave Horah in front of their Rabbi. They gave a psak in front of the Rabbi, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rabbi. And it's a psak, because the question is, today, do you have to bring your own fire, or are they supposed to just, you know, you light only the fire from Hashem? So they, on their own, paskind, that they're gonna bring a fire like every other day. So the saying is that was the mistake. I think Mar learns out from here, if anyone gives a run in front of the Rebbe, they're chayv nisam. As you see from here, that's what they did. But that was their psak. They just said, even though it's a mitzvah to bring a fire, even though fire doesn't come down from Shemayim, it's a mitzvah to bring it from Ajah. Right? Which is generally the halacha. That is the halacha, and they knew that. There was a pasuk in Vayikra which says that. You're supposed to put a fire on the Mizbeach. So it was a mistake, but it was a mistake in Psach. You say, but they weren't supposed to be poskening. They're supposed to ask their Rabbi to make their Psach. So that's the first question. Is the Gemara sounds like their chet was that they poskened. But the Pasuk doesn't sound like the Pasuk questions that they poskened. So the Pasuk sounds like their chet was that they brought this strain, this fire that they weren't commanded to do. Right, which really is understand, there's no room for your own personal innovation or your own personal ways to serve God. We're always coming to the great Shevach, the Aaron and Moshe, Kashev Tzivoshem, Moshe, Kashev, everything fully appointed to the Tzivoy. So there's a danger in Avodas Hashem that you decide to serve God in the way you wish. And that's really the way ultimately the Odezar do. They just have their own, they make up their own things, whatever they feel like. So part of the mitzvah mark of Avodas Hashem and Mikdash is that you subordinate yourself to the Tzivoy. So in the initiation of the Mishkan, it was important to express that idea. And if they're bringing a karbon, not based on their own desire, not based upon the Tzivoy, it's important to set down the message right away. The Mikdash Mishkan is very dangerous. It's a great opportunity, but at the same time, it's very risky. And I don't care who they are, they could be big tzaddikim, but Baal Ma'ariv, this personal innovation in your Avodas Hashem is not tolerated. So, but that's what it sounds like it is. But again, this is the beginning of the question. So I introduced, there's a lot of different chazals which cast different lights on what their chayit was. So the first one is the other, this Gemara in the Erevin, saying the chayit was that they paskened in front of the rabbi. Okay? Okay, so then let's look at Rashi. Okay? So Rashi is on Pasuk Beis. Okay, Vateitzeish. Yud Beis. Now, Vateitzeish. Rebelezer Omer lo mishim ne Aaron elo al shahoru halachu b'fnei Moshe Rabbah. That's what I just told you about. That they died because they gave psak in front of their Moshe, the rabbi. Rishmol Omer shosu yayin echmas lo mikdash. They entered the mikdash drink after they drank wine. Right, I'm sure you've heard that before. After they drank wine, Teda, I'll prove it. She'achar misaslan. After they died, his here nosarim shall yichnesu shasayayin mikdash. Right afterwards, he warned the rest of them. The very next parsha, don't go into the mikdash when you're drinking wine. So why is he doing that? The deduction is now he's telling them, right? Hey, look what happened. Which is kind of funny. You would have thought it would be nice to warn them before they, right? I mean, so it's nice. It's a nice connection that it says that right afterwards. But if that was the chait, don't you think the Torah should have said that was the chait? Right? It's like the Torah. This is the problem. The Torah describes the chait very simply. And this Rashi, right away, brings two totally different reasons. They gave horah in front of the rabbi. They went in to make us drunk. Right? And I will see. They'll show you this medrash. This is what Jesse asked me about. They'll show you there's like eight different. You've seen it? Or no. There's like eight different explanations given. Okay. So why don't we see some of them? I'll go through the pshat, some of the pshat in this medrash, and then maybe we'll discuss. But again, that's the nature of this problem, is trying to unravel the chet. But, you know, the plain pshat of the chet, ezara, we've talked about that before. And the question that I want to really do here is to see if we could weave together or unweave or something like that, the midrashim and the psukim.
It was a combination of all of the above.
Yeah.
It just seems like if it was just that they mistakenly thought they should put an ash in the Ketores, that seems like a mistake that, especially at that point in time when they were just beginning to serve Hashem in the Mishkan, like, is that really worthy of instantaneous death?
Well, if anything would be, I would think it would have to do with the idea of serving God based on your own initiatives. I would think that would be more so than paskening a shaila in front of your rabbi or drinking wine a little bit before you went.
What's isra that? I don't know. I've heard of it, but I don't.
What?
You're not allowed to pasken. What does that mean? Like if you're
if your rabbi is in town, you're not supposed to pasken a shaila without him. It's a kavadara. He's the authority. There's all kinds of things, but yeah. He's in around. There's all kinds of questions about what around means or whatever. But, you know, he's the authority, so you don't answer in front of him like he's asking him. And even if you're doing it yourself, that's also a psak.
It's not like they were making up some kind of, spiritual practice to serve God. This was something that was commanded every other day, and they just thought they should follow the routine. So that's why I didn't think it was such a...
No, they didn't either. But I guess that's the message, though, is you don't have to think it's whatever, but it sounds like it's saying is in their excitement to serve, they didn't think enough. But let's appreciate the problem, and then we'll see if we give answers to it, okay? Sometimes it's easy, you get better answers if we have better questions, okay? Okay, so the manager says like this. It says, Bar Kafra, this is in, you don't have this, but it's in, the Medrash Rabbah on Achareim Bas is Parsha Chaf Pasuk Ches. Okay, it's really about Achareim Bas. Okay, whatever. But Bar Kama Rishon Rishmol Ben Lazar Amar Rishol Arba Dvarim Eisu Ban Hashalom. For four reasons, for four things, they died. Al Akreva, on coming near. The Al Hakrava, and on bringing the Hakrava, the bringing of the carbon. The Al Eish Zara, and on the strange fire. Kind of sound like all the same thing so far, right? Coming close, the carbon, the ishtara, In fact, they didn't take advice from one another. Okay? Alakreva, now the Midrash explains. Alakreva means on coming close. They went all the way inside. So the inside. Holy of Holies. Okay, that we didn't know that they did that, but I guess this Midrash is claiming that they did.
Into the Kodesh Kedoshim,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't allowed to enter the Kodesh
Kedoshim. Right. Ve'al ha'krava, she'ekrivu karban, they brought a karban that they weren't commanded. So I guess it's not learning like the Rashbam that they're supposed to bring this. Al eish zara, eish mi beis kirayim echnisa. They brought a fire from like the kirach, like the oven. They didn't take like the special designated eish, but they just kind of took like a regular, they didn't take the fire on the Mizbeach, but they just took a random fire. It says each person took his own fire pack. They didn't discuss it amongst themselves. They just each acted individually. So that is part of their chet, which they got killed for, that they didn't ask each other. Okay, for four things. So again, it's like the Pasuk says they brought Esau, and this is having like a whole fourfold chet, right? And then it says, get this. It says, on the four places in the Torah where the Torah mentions the sins of the Bnei Aaron, the death of the Bnei Aaron, will be kulan mazkir sechonim, and every single time it tells you why. Okay, the same reason. Why? Kol kach lama, why does it keep telling you the same reason, keep telling you, we know the reason, yet it keeps mentioning every single time because they did this. To teach you that this is the only reason. Okay? This is the only reason they died. This is the only chait they had. Don't think, oh yeah, they died because they were sinful people. No, they weren't sinful people. Why did they die? Because of this. Why did they die? Because of this. Because of this. Because
every time it says that they, what does it say every time?
Bakrivam Ezara, I don't know. I have to look. But apparently he's saying that they did that. I didn't look at them all up. Okay. But it sounds like he's saying is every time it says that same thing. But I didn't check them all up. If you want to look at them, you can try to trace them down. But it sounds like he's saying this.
Something
hey.
Like this.
Yeah, something like this. That's the claim. I mean, again, I didn't look it up, but that's the plain shot of what's going on here. Right. Achrei Mos. One of them here is by Amazon W Bakri from H Zarath and Hashem. Okay? Fine. So which is kind of funny because all of a sudden you're saying there's only one chay. But this very same address says four things. Sounds fourfold. That they brought an H Zara, they went in Flame Vilfanim, they brought the car with their own carbon, they didn't take advice from each other. And there's the other thing about Hara.
Yeah, I understood. So, I mean, it's only this one instance. The rest of their lives, they didn't commit lust.
Okay. You could say that, but despite that, I mean, they only had this one tenfold chet. I mean, so what's the? I mean, it's interesting, but it's kind of has like a contradictory, message. You know, the message is the plain part. It sounds like they only did this one thing wrong. But I mean, there's one time it was like the most crazy, overwhelming thing where they were doing all this stuff. So it sounds like, it doesn't sound, it's like in the same chazal, on the one hand it's minimizing, and on the other hand it's maximizing. It's not like a contradiction as much as just, okay, then the next part of the Medrash, then the next one says, to other Amoraim, Rev Mani, Rev Yoshia, Rev Yochanan, Amru, Bishil Arba Dvarim, Esu Bnei Aaron. There are four reasons why Ibn Aaron died. Ulukulam Ksivan Misa. And all these things, it says death. Okay? Ashel Yushasu Yayin. They drank wine. Viksiv Bamisa Shnewa Yamishachar Al Tesh. Atam Nehubacham Vilayimusu. So the Alcha Pasuk says, you shouldn't drink wine. And so that, you don't die. So since it says you don't die, so there's an implication that that's a for crime, which is Panvoida. Right? Vilayimusu. Okay, and that's one. Then it says, they weren't wearing proper clothing. So it says is, based on this psukim, if you don't wear the me'il, you're supposed to wear all the clothing, special clothing for avodah, and they weren't wearing all the proper clothing. And because of that, there was another, and that's a chay, which is punishable by death. The Kohen does a vote, they're not wearing the proper begadim. I saw one of the Mepharshim say that normally the Mehillah is for the Kohen Gadol. But since they were doing the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol, of bringing this Ketoras, so therefore they were supposed to be wearing the Mehillah. Okay?
What they were doing, they were doing the right thing and wearing the Mehillah?
No, they were not wearing the Mehillah. They should have been
wearing
the Mehillah. Right. But they're supposed to wear the Mehillah. Right? This is from the Rosh. That they were treating themselves as Kohanim Gadolim because they were going with Naiv and Lefnem. So if that's the case, so they were supposed to be wearing the Mehillah, but they weren't. So that it's like they weren't wearing the proper clothing. Okay? Then it says, you're supposed to wash your hands before you did avoda, and they didn't do that. And if you don't do that, then that's punishable by death. So they did that also. It's kind of like, it looks like it's looking for all the sins that were by Kohanim where it says death, and it's saying, oh, they did this, they did that, they did that. It's not even like basing it on the psukim. Like the Yayin one, at least the very next pasuk, is right after this very story. But now it just kind of looks like they're looking around for all the different things where it says Misa and say, oh, they did this. Oh yeah, they also didn't wash their hands, or they also weren't wearing the right clothing. They also weren't drinking, they drank wine. And then lastly, get this. Also, they didn't have kids. It's Sivba Misa. The Pasuk says, they died and they didn't have kids. Which sounds like it's saying the tragedy. They died without sons. Oh, that was the chet. They died because they didn't have kids. Right? And Abba Chanan Omer, they didn't have wives. The Kohen Gadol is supposed to have a wife. So they didn't have wives, they didn't have kids. Right? So, my point of, again, I'm going through quickly here. Point is, it's overwhelming. And the Pasuk just says, they died. Every time, four times, it says, they brought Eshara. And then all of a sudden, in Chazal, you have, the first one is bringing up things which are kind of related. Karban, the coming close, the Eshara. Then you have, they didn't ask advice. And you have the other Medrash, they drank wine, they weren't wearing the clothing, they didn't wash their hands, they didn't have kids, they weren't married, they gave hora in front of their Rebbe, right? It's like, sounds totally, what's the deal here, right? Whew. And look, there's nothing wrong with saying a person was very sinful, but it's like, well, the Torah doesn't seem to be describing anything at all like that.
I feel like there's a clue in how Moshe responds to this by saying, there's something about the way that he's categorizing this whole incident by summarizing with this, this is a moment where Hashem had to take those that are close to him and show all of Klal Yisrael, what is Kadosh,
right.
What is Kedusha,
right. Right, but that's plain shot. I mean, Rashi says that means when Hashem does din to tzaddikim, so it's a Kiddush Hashem. It shows Hashem doesn't play favorites, and even a great person is going to be subject to death if he sins. But I don't see that as addressing what in particular the chayit was. I mean, that's like the follow-up is like the result and the Kiddush Hashem that comes about. But this is a discussion of what the sin was. Whatever the sin was, there's a Kiddush Hashem that the Kedoshim, the Hashem that does din with the, tzaddikim. Yeah, Rachel, you were saying?
Subcategories or sub-details that
right.
are just like contributors. In and of themselves, even, they wouldn't even be sins, per se. But once they're all, contributing to some, larger, overarching attitude, then they are sinful types of behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have to isolate, what exactly was the one particular thing and show how each of these are just really tributaries to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, the Kerviathity might be a description of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not really saying when you said, but...
So which particulars does that fit with?
Well, it's this brazenness that they had, but a lot of the
smaller pieces that they fall into. A lot of the explanations is that they took it upon themselves to, decide that they don't need to be married. They don't need to have children because or they can choose to
be very independent.
Right.
It seems like it doesn't matter what the particular is. Like, there's like a different message that, like,
nothing very different.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, by Yom Kippurim, I don't know, it's a little bit of a stretch, but...
I don't know, by putting out all these different possibilities, it sounds like the Medrash isn't trying to, like, pin down, like, the exact transgression, but rather that I feel like the whole group suggests something else as a group.
Hear what everyone's saying from the other end, but maybe someone said this, but maybe it's since the main reason the Torah gives is Ish Zara, maybe all these other reasons are, which means that they didn't do the right thing, they didn't follow what you're supposed to do, like you're saying there's no creativity involved, you have to follow exactly what it's supposed to be. Maybe all of these other reasons are kind of like supplementing to tell you, well, this is like how that happened, how two Kohanim were able to give such a wrong, not followed, not the right thing. Like maybe because of, the fact that they drank, or because they weren't wearing the right thing, or they weren't in the right mindset, or they weren't in the proper marital status, like, their overall, like, personality or outlook, which allowed them to be able to commit this type, to do this type of korban that was so off.
Right. Similar to what you're saying, right?
Are they twins?
It
kind of seems like there's only one thing that's okay. Like, the only thing that's okay is following Torah Hashem. Exactly. That's it. Is that anything that they did that was their own initiative?
I know, but it's like, but what do you need to... Like, look, they did, and they did. They brought an Ish Zara, Shelo Tzivo, so now what do you need more than that? You know what I mean? Like, isn't that, like, it talks for itself, it speaks volumes, then that should be the message. You don't need to come up with other stuff. That, if that's the point, then coming up with other things is almost like a distraction. Yeah, I mean, I like what you guys are saying. One point is, like, sometimes there are midos which go into a chet. Right? That's what you guys are saying. It's like, let's say the drinking, It's like there's a certain midah, or maybe let's say the ora. They paskin. Let's say they paskin in front of the rabbi. So it sounds like it's some sort of an arrogance or something like that, that they were full of themselves or confident in themselves, and they weren't properly giving kavod to their Rav, and that allowed them, enabled them to do the sin. So like the sin isn't that they paskened, but had they had a proper amount of humility to ask a shayla, then even as excited as they were about doing the Ish Zara, but they would have asked a shayla. So like in a certain sense, the paskening enabled them. It was like a midah ra'ah which enabled them to do this Ish Zara and didn't stop them. So it's like that attitude of the arrogance, let's say, in its own right, maybe wouldn't have been, the Chayav Misa, but it was a midah which allowed them to do the terrible sin, which is sometimes the case. Sometimes, like, a bad midah in its own right isn't necessarily terrible. And on its own right, it may not be so terrible, but at the same time, bad midahs enable you to do very bad actions. And sometimes you usually trace very bad crimes to different midahs. Maybe someone has a midah of jealousy that they don't get control over, and then in a fit of rage, they end up killing someone. Now, it's like, in a certain sense, you could trace the problem to their jealousy. Now, ultimately, yes, they killed, but it's like, sometimes there are contributory factors which go into a chet and enable a chet. As he's saying, like, this midah was what set the stage for them to make such a misstep. In theory, a person wouldn't make them such a misstep because they have their Rebbe. And if a person is asking advice when they're doing serious stuff, then they'll be guarded. But if, on the other hand, they're a little overconfident and they're giving a Rav in front of their Rav, now they end up being enabled to do this thing. Now, was the chait that they gave the Rav not quite, but it is a factor, right? That's what you're trying to say, a lot of, like, the drinking. Maybe they didn't take about this seriously enough. They're drinking. They weren't properly focused. But that's not a chait necessarily, which is going to be the chait which is leading to their death. It's a zara. Yeah, but maybe if they're more focused, if their mind was sharper, they would have been a little more careful before they made that judgment call that they had to bring in their own fire. Maybe they would have noticed Moshe's point that today is the day of Kiddush Hashem, and don't just do autopilot, don't just do the normal life. Today's different. But because the drinking, so like, the chet isn't the drinking. The Torah doesn't say drinking, because that wasn't quite the chet. The chet was the Esh Zara. But if they didn't drink, they wouldn't have done the chet. So in a certain sense, that's like another way to look at the chet. Right?
You're not saying all of them, right?
No, I'm just trying to... I'm trying to take the approach which I think Grace and Chayla are saying. No, we have to take all of them in particular, I think. I'm just saying that's like a good approach in general. That sometimes there's the chayt proper and then contributory factors. Right? But the Torah is not necessarily writing contributory factors. The Torah is writing the chayt. And it doesn't want to write anything else, because that's ultimately, it's not because of drinking. Maybe, like, Hashem's not going to kill another one of you because they drank a little bit before that's not. It's because the Ishzara. That the message that the Ishzara sends in the dedication of the Mishkan. But now, if you want to understand their personality and how did such great people do this thing, there's more of a deeper analysis, which is multi-determined, and there's, you know, chet is complicated. Chet is complicated. That's what he's saying. That's what you guys are answering me for. It's one chet, but it's complicated. It's not, it lends itself to more of an analysis than just to say they messed up. That's like an oversimplified way of looking at things. Oh, they just sinned. Yes, in a certain sense, true. But on the other hand, there's more complexity to it. And I think we should look more carefully now at each of the chazals, at the Midrashim, and try to unravel what they're exposing. But I just, you know, I wanted to start with that as just like an approach of how to, you know.
And I think another aspect of it is that because they were such gedolim and everybody in the nation looked up to them, and then they were acting in a way that was not up to their level. So, you know, ultimately, when they brought an Esh Zara and it caused the people to not see the amazing Kiddush Hashem that they would have seen otherwise, where,
right,
you know, if there was no fire from down and all of a sudden this fire comes and it's totally from Hashem, that would have been in like a complete level,
right,
of Kiddush Hashem.
Right.
And there was sort of a missed opportunity,
right,
there. Another Avia were the cause of that missed,
yes,
opportunity.
Yeah.
When,
sure,
they should have been the ones that are,
mm-hmm,
you know, setting the example.
Mm-hmm.
So
that. Right. Good. Okay. Good. So let's.
Ultimately, it mentions the Ishara, because that was really the example.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm.
Even if there were other things that contributed to it.
Right. Okay, so let us do like this. Let us, yeah, I didn't make this clear to you, but there really are two separate midrashim here, okay? There's, at least in my book here, there's Chas and Tas, okay? And there are two statements. If you notice, one of them said there were four things, and another person said there were four things, or another group of people. So maybe we could try to, it's overwhelming. We have a lot of different things on this list. Maybe it's best to analyze it by trying to take each one independently, because maybe they're not saying, maybe they're not talking about the same thing, or maybe they are. They're just different lists, but they are two different lists of four things. So maybe they're not eight things, maybe they're four things, and then a different four things, which, you know. So, and then the first list does have a different feel to it than the second list. Okay, so let's start with the first list. And within the four, the first list, it seems like, you know, one of these things does not belong. Yeah, you know. Came from, I don't know, whether it's Sesame Street or Electric Company or whatever it was. Yeah. So it says like this. What are the four things in the first? It says, "Bishul arba dvarim meisu banu shel Aaron. Al hakreva ve'al hakrava al eish zara ve'al shalom ha'dayitzah ha'mizah." The last one, right? So al hakreva means that they came close. They went lefnai v'lefnem. Two is the krava, the krava, the karban which they brought. Three is the eish zara. And then the fourth is they didn't ask advice from each other. So advice seems like the first three is almost like what the pasuk is talking about, right? Atese, right? Mm-hmm. What does it say? You can almost like look in the psukim. They took their ishmat tasa innovation by yakrivu lefnei Hashem eish zara, right? So by yakrivu lefnei Hashem means lefnei Hashem, I guess means lefnei v'lefnim. By yakrivu they took it, right? Like they took the Torah, they seem like a Torah. Eish Dara, it's like all in the pasuk there. Oh, and I guess also Ish Machtaso is also the beginning of the pasuk. Fine, true, but that's like a deduction. Ish Machtaso means that they didn't take advice from each other, but that's like a little different. The first three are like, what did they do wrong? What was the content of what they did? And then, oh yeah, they should have asked advice from each other, right?
From each other, meaning Nadav and Avi, yes. Talk between the two of them.
Yes.
The whole thing is also, that's why I asked if they're twins, like, they were perfectly of the same mindset and everything, mm-hmm. And they just did it with,
that's what the
without
is
any
saying.
Disagreement.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they both had the same idea, they didn't discuss. Sometimes you could have that, it's like if you discuss something, you know, you have an idea and you do something, but if you talk it over with someone else, a chavrusa, a friend, or whatever, you'd both realize this is wrong. But as long as you act without discussing, then somehow you don't filter it out.
And that's so weird. It's a real thing. Like, you could just do something wrong with somebody as long as you're not discussing it for the future.
Yeah, right. If the two of you would just both say, should we do this? Maybe this isn't a good idea? Yeah, you'll realize, oh, maybe it isn't. Oh, I don't know, maybe it's not sure, maybe whatever. But somehow, if you just act, like there's an idea in general, but there's a lot of sins a person would do on their own, but they wouldn't do with someone else. Now, if they have another person and they don't talk to each other about it or whatever, then they're kind of doing it on their own. But if they would have talked, then they would have caught each other. And part of the chait sounds like they didn't talk. Maybe part of them knew that it wasn't right. And they could have consulted with one another. But they chose not to. They kind of just went. Right? So what's this other three? Let's like leave that alone for a second. And the other three sounds like funny. They almost sound like the same thing, or different facets of the same thing. The alakreva, the alakrava, the alayzara, right? What's this like combination, right? So let's see. I'm just looking for the footnote. If there's any commentary on what exactly these things are.
Kreva and krava is echoed in the word bikrovai. It's like almost the same language.
Yeah, but it's a different, I mean, it's true.
Or maybe it's just referring to Vayakrivu
v'nei Hashem. Right, exactly. Vayakrivu v'nei Hashem, Eish Zara. So they brought, so Akrava presumably means what they brought. And Akrava, Akrava means that they came in, Lefnai v'lefnem, and then Eish Zara is that it was an Eish.
Maybe the fact that they didn't consult one with the other is from the Sherlod Tzivos. It doesn't say who is the one that Lotzivos. Maybe it's like hinting to the fact
right.
that.
Well, I don't know if I read this, but it says that the Medrash learned that from Ish Machtaso. Ish Machtaso. So the drash is Ish Me'atzmo Asu, Shlona Leitzes Emiza.
Because of Machtaim.
Yeah, right, I guess so. Yeah, right. It could have said Rikru Me'ar Nishmat Machtayam, but Ish Machtaso means each person took his thing. So, well, of course, each person took his thing. But it's saying, no, it means that they acted as individuals. That's the drasha there. But I mean, what are these three things? And then in the very same thing, says, oh, there's only this chait. So, but what are these? They sound like the same thing, kind of, no? I mean, they brought... I guess hakreva means that they came lefnai v'lefnem. Okay, they went into the Kodesh Kodashim.
Okay.
Two is that they brought a krava, shehakrivu karban shalon nistavu, that they weren't commanded to bring this karban, and they brought the karban. And three is
the usual. It was a regular fire.
It was not the what they were doing the Ketores. It was just they weren't supposed to do anything.
That they weren't shekriva kavan, so that the eish zara, that they brought an eish zara, they didn't take the fire from the mizbeach, but they took a fire from the local whatever.
I'm just trying to understand the dynamic of like ishmach taso. Does that mean that they were simultaneously doing it? Does it mean one saw the other and said, oh, okay, let's do this, you know, and grabbed his...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all three of those things sound like they're like going into the Kodesh Kodashim and bringing a korban that you're not commanded to do, and not bringing the right fire. All seems like not like getting like the absolute import of like what they're doing, like they're kind of just not treating it with like the proper respect,
right. So I was thinking something like that it's like they're doing a lot of things wrong in this karbon, and like before you go lefnai v'lefnem, you should really think very carefully, because this is a super special place. Before you bring a karbon, which isn't commanded, that's a new thing. Bringing a fire, there's not in the death. There's certain like markers. When a person does something wrong, there's like one way to measure how much they did wrong is like how many signposts did they bypass and they overlook, you know? And it could be saying is that there were a lot of things which should have tipped them off to make sure that, you know, that they were, something was wrong here. Like they were excited, but in their excitement, they missed obvious signs which should have given them a moment's pause. They should have realized, this is, we're going with Lefnai V'lefnem. We're going to, this is a fire we aren't commanded in this Kabbalah. We have this fire. We usually take a fire from the Mizbeach. This is like from the oven. We are friends together. We should have asked each other. They're like, that's the fourth one is also related. It's like, they're different, the chet is the eishara, it is the fact that they did this thing, but it's kind of showing there's different components of the eishara, where it was, where the fire was from, where the karbon was from, the fact that they were with each other. So it could be it's trying to bring out that yes, it's one chet, but it's showing like how much they overlooked due to their excitement to bring this eishara. You know, so it's like, it's showing why it was bad. You know, it's like the extent to which they were so straight away to their chayt that they didn't notice these things.
It's like you're saying, like let's say somebody, like, asked, their spouse to do something, and the spouse forgot. But they only asked one thing. But they didn't you notice also this, and also this, and also this?
Exactly, right?
Between all of those things.
Yes, right. It makes it worse.
Because you just forgot the one thing.
Right.
It's a different...
Exactly, right.
It's questionable how much you weren't paying attention.
Right, exactly. Right. And the amount of things which your chait causes you to overlook is a further indication of how deeply involved in the chait that you are. A person should have the reminders. Oftentimes a person is about to do something wrong and they have a reminder. The reminder stops them from sinning. Or then another reminder.
But like ultimately weren't they really just trying to bring korban? Like,
yes.
So isn't there any like virtue in...
Yes. Well, sort of. Depends. I mean, that's part of the message is that just because you want to be serving God doesn't make it okay. I mean, every religion wants to serve God, but the idea is that we have to serve God according to the tzivui, not based on our own innovations. And it's a step closer to Avodah Zarah once you start allowing people to decide that they want to serve God outside of the realm of tzivui. So yes, it's true, but they should pause and think, one second. I know we want to serve God, but is it okay to go to life? No. Maybe not. Maybe it's not so simple. In fact, it isn't so simple. So you want to bring carbon. Well, this isn't exactly what we recommended. The fire, we're not like there. There's the innovation. You can want to serve God, but the problem is once you start innovating, then you're going down a slippery slope of just making up your own thing. Obviously, there are another video far from that. But the message is, there's no room for personal innovation in the method you want to choose to serve God. So yeah, is it motivated well? Yes, but it's coming from your own desire. How will you do it?
But is that because all necessary slope is person satisfying their own emotions? Or is that because, and so therefore it's not really for God anymore? Or is that because...
Yes, I think so. I think it's like you get them mixed together between your recognition of God on the one hand and your own desires, you know, your religious desires on the other hand. And it's important to be able to separate between those two.
You have to have the humility to know that no matter what you want to do, you're not God. Like, if God told you what to do, like, you can't make up your own thing.
Right, but like, do we have an idea at all of like having good intentions or having your heart in the right place? Like,
well. Maybe. I'm not sure what the heart in the right place is. Maybe the heart is in the wrong place.
No, I just use this expression. Like,
yeah.
Is that like not an idea in Torah Judaism? Or like,
I mean, good, I don't know. Good, having good, good of them. Depends what you mean. You know, depends on the thing. Here the very chait is.
Well, I found something about this recently.
Oh, yeah.
What did you say? At the Kaylee and Mikvah.
Oh, really?
She was asking me if like, okay that this couldn't get like some of the stickers off. So I said, no, it's really not okay. So I said, you really should like go home and use a sponge or hot water. No accoutrements there to like work with. So the person, I guess, felt like they really couldn't. So before Pesach, like, I guess we're overwhelmed, couldn't really take the time to do that or felt they couldn't. So she kind of said, like, my heart was in the right place. Like,
Right.
Yeah. I guess not, but like in a way I was kind of wondering, like, is there anything like about that, you know? Not in this particular case.
It's different. It's a little different though. One is where you're trying to do something and then you realize like you're not strong enough to, you know, follow the halacha because it's hard emotionally, versus here, it's like the emotion itself is causing your own method of doing the avodah. It's like a little bit of a different situation.
Are you saying the slippery slope is bad because ultimately the person is just satisfying himself? Or is the slippery slope bad because that's the question. Is that why?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's part of that.
That particular thing, I think, and I've heard, I don't like to remember what cheer it was, but Rebbe was explaining that if you can't give yourself a heter not to keep certain halachos, like that's like really like once you have to kill the entire system. If you just decide that this one, like look, I tried this one, I couldn't do it, like it's too hard for me. But that in of itself is it's just a total like it's just like this seems like it's just one thing, but you're really inverting and really like perverting the entire idea, which is that you're supposed to subjugate yourself to the system. I mean, she wants to use this issue. She should have. I mean,
but the difference here is that she wasn't saying, I'm not going to keep the halacha of Toivel and Kalim. She was trying.
She was. She just decided that she tried hard enough and she wasn't going to do it, right? She was going to go home, take off the stupid
clothes. But she could have just decided it was too hard for her to even get out to the Kalim Ikva and forget it, you know? And so there's that level.
She did do it.
Yeah. Okay, let's... It's okay. It's all good. Yeah, okay, so this another next medrash has...
Well, I think this is an important point because at face value, the thing that the Pasuk is describing about what Nadav and Abihu did wouldn't seem like such a terrible thing. They're bringing a korban to Hashem. Okay, it was not something that they were commanded to bring, but it almost feels like, you know, they're trying their best to serve Hashem. Their heart is in the right place.
Sure, but that's part of the message of the Torah, is that you don't do things like that. I mean, let's say a person says, I want to serve Hashem. And this is what Ram describes. Again, I don't know the hagdil.
You can't just make your own thing.
Right, or in the extreme, again, I don't want to equate. Now, some of you are great people, and they had a chet. But like the Ram describes, the initial of the Avodah Zarah decided they want to serve Hashem by giving honor to the stars and the sun and the moon, because Hashem gave them honor and gave them a special place in the world, so they're going to serve Hashem by honoring His kings and the things, the powers which He gave power to. But once you step away from the total submission to Hashem, it becomes a slippery slope that a person just ends up worshiping and attaching to their own desires, and towards the way they want to serve God and the way they want to imagine God. And next thing you know, 10 generations later, no one in the world knows that there's even Hashem. And everyone only knows about the stars.
So by that definition, any religion that's not Judaism is Avodah Zarah, because it's serving God in a way that's not that Hashem did not intend. Like, you know, I've heard that halakhically Islam is not necessarily Avodah Zarah because it doesn't have, like, the Trinity.
Well, you have to talk about the difference between Avodah Zarah and where you're worshipping. I don't know.
By that definition, anybody who's, you know, using some kind of arbitrary system that was made up by a guy named Muhammad.
Again, there's a difference between the technical of Zara, there's a difference between the technical of Zara and the philosophical attitude of Zara. But yeah, if a guy named Muhammad decides to make up and say, listen, I know that Hashem wants us to serve Him by doing the 613 mitzvahs, but I have a different idea. Why don't we just all decide to do this other stuff? Because I think it will be a really great idea, and everyone will love it, and it will be more fun than 613 mitzvahs. Yeah, I mean, that's bad. That's not tolerated. You can't just decide. Or how about, let's say, just say, you know what, I want to make up a 614th mitzvah. I think that will help us remember Hashem if we, blank, choose your favorite practice, which you think people make up. Or say, I'm going to do, you know what, I want to serve God, but I just want to knock out one of the mitzvahs, because it's really hard for me, but I have a heart in a good place. I think, you know what, I'll be better serving God if I drive to shul on Shabbos, and it will help me have concentration, because if I walk to shul, I'm going to be tired, and my intention is to serve God. So the answer is, yeah, it's very nice your intention to serve God, in the way that you decide that is appropriate and good for you. But the idea of the Torah is we have to submit to Hashem's command how he serve God, and he realizes when a person starts making his own desires and his own ways that he wants to serve God, it ends up leading you to serving yourself and not to serving God. Part of the message is that we have to accept the Rishon Hashem, it's Yivoy Hashem, and it's a dangerous slippery slope. Now, again, none of you were only on one tiny step, but the very initiation of the Mishkan, there had to be a message, no tiny steps, don't take any steps. I don't care how great you are, there's no steps. Once you take steps away, then it leads down a very bad path. So they were tzaddikim, and they were b'krovei kadesh, but still there was a misstep, and that misstep is important to send the message to everybody in the inception of the Mishkan. This is not, there's dangers in the Mishkan. Next thing you know, you're going to be thinking Hashem is physical, and He's going to be sitting in the base of Mikdash, and you're going to relate to Him like another idolatry. So you have to be very, very careful at the very beginning, be super careful, be on guard. So it's a tiny step in the wrong direction, but that's the message.
It was especially a danger because the Mishkan is physical, and yes, because the fire yes, that came
exactly.
down.
Exactly. Right. It lended, it's it like lends an accommodation to man's need to be close to God,
yeah.
but that's very risky. So if we didn't have it, then we'd feel far from God. But if we do have it, then it's very tricky. It's a very delicate balance. So we have to realize right in the beginning, don't get too excited. Klal Yisrael get excited, but not too excited. Be careful. And right in the beginning, there's a message which they take with them.
And the Haftorah for this parsha talks about David when he was dancing and got all emotional, but that was emotion
that was
the
good.
Right way.
Yes, that was subordination.
Like Michal thought that he was wrong for doing that, and he wasn't.
Yep. Yeah.
So there's like certain emotions that you can use in the service of Hashem, and I guess there's certain times where it goes too far.
Yep. I mean, that demands further discussion on that story, but yes, that's correct. Okay, so let me just, I don't have so much time here, but let me just go to this. So one last thing. So the next Medrash has these four sins, right? And what seems to me a comment in all of them, about it says again, one is that they drank wine, one is that they didn't wear the right clothing, three is that they didn't wash their hands, and four is they didn't have kids. Okay? So the one thing I see in common about all of them is that they weren't appropriately prepared for a home. Okay? The sons is a little harder, but I mean, they didn't in the right mindset, they drank wine, they didn't wash their hands, they weren't somehow level of Kedusha, they didn't wear the right clothing, they didn't have the right family. So it's a little different, but the message in all of them, it seems like the Torah sets up, you don't just go and do a home. You have to be totally sober, no wine whatsoever. You have to be dressed in the exact clothing perfectly, properly. You gotta wash your hands. You gotta have a certain family, you should have kids. I don't understand that one exactly. But like there's like a family, God still has to have a family. But the point is that and in all of them, you see the Torah says Misa. So what's the message? Is that if you go into Avoda without proper preparation and you don't take it seriously enough, or you don't have all the proper chesherim for it, then your avodah is going to be corrupt. And I don't know if it knows necessarily that they did all these things, but it could be it's saying is part of what allowed them to do these things is that not just that they did the Ezaras and all these things, but that they were not careful enough in approaching avodah. They didn't take the appropriate precautions. They didn't put themselves in the right steps. I don't know, there's no real evidence that they actually did all these things as much as these say Misa, Misa, Misa. It seems like it's drawing attention. If you look around, the Misa, Kohanim state, one big thing is it's like the wrong approach to Avodah. Not approaching it in the right mindset with the right preparations is a source of Misa. You know, so it could be it's a different Medrash. It's not, the first one is telling you what, like, the facets of the chet itself and what in the sin should have triggered them. The second one is kind of showing you the Torah has many things after the fact. See, like, these things weren't commanded necessarily at the time, like the Yamish was afterwards. But it could be just showing is that the general theme is you see how the Torah has many things put in place that the Kohen has to be adequately prepared. And it could be overall, the Nadav and Aviv were not adequately prepared. They didn't approach it appropriately.
Maybe what's analogous for us today, because we are avodas tefillah, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we have to realize that if we go into tefillah without having the right mindset, it could become about, like, you know, God, I need this, and if you don't respond...
Sure. Yeah, sure, you're right, tefillah also.
So, like, even going into tefillah, we have to be prepared with the right mindset.
Yeah, that's why you can't drink also, same thing.
Can't drink before tefillah, you have
wash
to
wash your hands, right, there's parallel, definitely.
So it's like, similar concept.
Yep. Yeah, people, you can't take it nonchalant, just approach God if they feel like however you want to do it. No, you're right, good point, yeah.
What doesn't the Torah tell us? Like, Torah tells us what happened, but we don't have, like, any, like, Torah just doesn't tell us what was wrong in it.
Well, it says, so I think the Torah wants to emphasize the main thing that was wrong was its Ezar Shel Tzivosam. And it doesn't want to dilute that point. That's the point. You know? And that's enough in its own right. And it doesn't want to start saying a list of eight things, because then you think, it's like there were all these things. That is the dedication of the Mishkan, that idea is antithetical to Mishkan, and that had to be stopped. Everything else it could have slid or whatever, it could have got by. But these are facets to the back. These are like an analysis of the personalities of another individual, the background, what could have stopped them, what was their, you know, their mindset going in. But that's not like the chait itself. What was the chait for? Why did they, why was this whole event ruined, if you will, or, you know, it had this tragedy mixed into the dedication of the Mishkan? Because the dedication of the Mishkan, it's like a key in the dedication of the Mishkan. No matter who you are, you can't make mistakes in this area. And that's it. By not mentioning anything else explicitly, it emphasizes this and only this. And that's why every time it mentions it, it says, Bakir Meshar. It didn't want to say all these other things because they take you away from...
Right, because there wasn't any of those.
Yeah. No, those other things on their own, that's not the takeaway. The takeaway when you read the Torah is, when you have Mishkan, don't bring Eshara. Don't do Asher HaTzivosam. That's the takeaway every single time. That's what you got to do. And by talking about all these other things, it distracts you. So left it to Rosh Malpeh, left it to references, allusions, and all that. But bottom line is, in the text itself, it keeps you focused upon the point. You know? Which is interesting. It's an interesting style. You know? The Torah Shavasav and the Rosh Malpeh. Yeah. Yeah, the kids thing is hard to understand. I don't understand exactly the thing. What does it mean exactly? You know, kids, and like, I don't see the connection. Or, I mean, I do see that has something to do with being prepared, but like, there's no halacha you have to have kids. There's another thing I forgot about this. The further Medrash says is like they could have had gotten married and had kids, but they felt that there was no one who was good enough for them. So that kind of talks about a whole story about they had something. It sounds like it attributes it to somehow their arrogance or something like that, their royal feeling of aristocracy that somehow, you know, I forgot that. But, something like that, yeah. But I don't know. I don't know. It's Sarkhian to get more in. I didn't really get more insight into that.
Altogether, isn't like, questions after you die was once like, where you miss us for a boo.
Right.
Like, because that just puts you in a certain framework with regard to
the world,
yeah,
taking all along.
Yeah, the continuity
of cholesterol
and everything like
right.
I mean, it's not really related to the other
thing. Any
superficial
right. Right. Part of the thing. Yeah.
So part of being prepared for a Voda is having children who can continue to do that Voda after they're gone.
Yeah. Maybe. Sounds, yeah. I mean, it does sound like a failing not to think about the future of it and to be, you have to perpetuate the kahuna. After all, these are the kahuna. But it doesn't quite fit with the other ones. I mean, you could say that, but it sounds a little bit forced. Yeah, I can't remember. I don't remember. You know, I did this like 3 months ago, and I just happened to be, I was waiting to do it. I almost gave this year 1 month ago. I don't remember if I had some.
Could it, no.
Yeah,
oh, I got it.